What? Am I brainwashing you enough only about Jesus Christ, not about something else? You're not just committed to listening. You get it? Listening is not the main reason. Number three, make sure the non-Christian is clear and aware that you have come to speak only about Jesus Christ. You don't want the meeting to degenerate into plain listening session. Number four, listening begins when the non-Christian shows some hesitation or refuses to make any commitment to Jesus Christ. So when faced with any obstacle, employ your ears instead of your lips. Got it? And we're going to see how it works. So if there's any hesitation, not in you, not when you're stumped, but when that person you have got to speak to about Jesus Christ starts hesitating to listen, gets upset, or brings up a problem, that's the time to listen. A personal problem on a deep level is often the cause of reluctance or refusal to surrender to Jesus Christ. Are you getting it? I hope you realize, and this is worth speaking about. I hope you realize that people are not, there's hardly any person in the world who hates Jesus Christ or has any criticism of a Jesus Christ except the weirdos and the perverts. Even the persecutors of Christians, many of them have great respect for Jesus. And around the world you see, even in Hindu India, you see that there is a respect of Jesus as the greatest teacher in all of human history, right? They have a great respect, great regard for Jesus. They have got upset because they've got all these stories about Christians pay money to make converts. And a whole lot of negatives against Christianity is because of our own fault of misrepresenting Jesus, not speaking about Jesus only. Distinguish between a personal, now we're getting to something very specific in the art of listening, in developing a listening discipline. Distinguish between a personal, concrete, practical, particular problem. How many things have I said? A personal, concrete, particular, and practical problem. What's the opposite of personal? Impersonal. So you can have impersonal problems versus impersonal problems. What's the opposite of concrete? Abstract. What's the opposite of practical? What's the opposite of particular? Specific. It's general, right? So we are interested in the personal, particular, practical, and concrete problems, not the abstract, impersonal, general problem. We need to develop the art of distinguishing these. And it doesn't come easy. We need also to help the hesitant non-Christian overcome these particular personal kinds of problems in order that he or she can come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I hope everywhere you see we talk about not just Jesus but Jesus Christ and Lord Jesus Christ. And then we do not need to deal with the second category of problems, the abstract problems, the general problems, the impractical problems, the theoretical problems. Be careful not to get trapped into discussing those. So I've given you a chart there. On one side you have the personal, concrete, practical, particular problems, right? And the other side the impersonal, abstract, theoretical, general problems. What's the personal problem? Why do I have to suffer? So, it should be much, not mine, so much in my life. Is that personal? You gotta listen. I'm talking to you about Jesus Christ and you suddenly say, what are you talking about Jesus Christ? How much I'm suffering? If God loves me and your Jesus loves me, why am I suffering so much? Has he told you anything about his suffering? No, but he has given you a window. Maybe a tiny window. For you to start doing what? Loving. Caring. Listen. And we'll speak about how to get him to say more. At this point, he's saying, why do I have to suffer so much in my life? You say, we'll talk about that later. I've come to talk to you about Jesus Christ. What's he going to say? How does that become impersonal? Have you met people who say, why is there so much suffering in this world if there is a God of love? Right? That's impersonal. And we're going to talk about how to get away from those impersonal. You don't get talking about suffering. Next example, what will happen to my mother if she dies without believing in Jesus Christ? I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And I've come to the place where I say, if you don't believe in him, you perish. You'll be separated from God. You won't have eternal life, which means you won't live forever and ever. And you know, hell is really separation from God. The person says, oh my God, what happened to my mother? And he said, don't worry about your mother, I've come to talk to you about Jesus Christ. No. What kind of problem is it? It's a concrete problem. It's a specific problem. My friend from school went to Cornell University in New York. Cindy Lachu. 6th, 7th, 8th, we were in class and we were the most intelligent in the whole class and the biggest badmashes, both he and I. And every day we did mischief, and the next morning the class teacher came and he said, who did all this? And we would act so innocent. And so every boy in the class was caned because of Lakshu and me. The whole class was punished. We also went. Ouch, sir! Every day, week after week. And then he left and he went from Morocco to New York. I got born again by then. And I started writing to him. All the badmashi is gone. I'm born again now. I want to tell you about Jesus. And you know what he wrote to me? He said, you know, because you have been telling me about Jesus, I went to a tent meeting in New York. And in that tent meeting, and this is a young college student in Cornell University, he said, I went to the tent meeting and I went to meet the preacher. And I asked him, what will happen to little children if they die? And the preacher impersonally said, they'll go to hell. And my friend wrote back to me saying, Chris, I don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. He sends little children to hell. It was an impersonal problem. The preacher didn't even bother to sympathetically ask, why is it bothering you? And the preacher had a wrong doctrine even. at that point. And my friend started blocking his heart from Jesus Christ. So there's the practical. What would it be wrong for me to have an abortion? Is that a practical problem? The theoretical is, what does Christianity teach about abortion? And you start giving a discourse. Alright, from the example, point 6, avoid getting bogged down with the kinds of problems represented at the right hand column. Okay, the impersonal, abstract, theoretical, general problems. Avoid getting bogged down with the kinds of those kind of problems by simply asking what? It should be simply ask, not simple ask, simply ask. Why does this problem bother you? So someone says, why is there so much suffering in the world? You have to say, why does this problem bother you? They say, just like that. If it is just like that, it's general, right? Still. Then you say, well, we can talk about that some other time, but I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ. You got it? But suppose this answer, when you simply ask, why does this problem bother you? You're showing interest, right? You're not putting them off by saying, hey, talk about that next time. I came to talk to you about Jesus Christ. No, no, no. I ask, genuinely ask, why does this problem bother you? The person might say, because my mother died of cancer. My daughter has polio. And tell you many other things. And you say, oh really? Tell me more about it. See, you're listening, you're caring. You got it? And we'll come back to that. You're developing the art of listening with love to the deep problems, not the superficial problems. This might lead to the person telling you the real personal problem. If it is not really a personal problem, politely refuse to get involved in answering by simply saying, then let's get back to the reason for our time together. We agreed to talk about Jesus Christ. So number 7, one important reason for listening to that most is that most people have deep and serious problems in personal relationship. You know, the biggest problem you and I and everybody else has is relationships. At home, at work, in our field of education, wherever, we have relationship problems. Everybody has a relationship problem. Interpersonal relationships are perhaps the number one problem most people face. Most people cannot live happily and with this kind of nagging problem in their lives. Pain and agony is experienced because of this. Human relationship problems influence our relationship with God. Did you know that? And we're talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I can't even get along with my brother. And you're talking about a personal relationship with someone who's invisible. Have you seen Jesus? I haven't seen Jesus, and how can I relate with him? I can't relate with someone I know. The thing that hindered me in my relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm talking about me, was I just didn't get along with my own dad. And I read in the Bible, if you can't love your brother whom you can see, it's not my brother, it's my dad in this case, how can you say you love God whom you haven't seen? And so I decided that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, He is the best there can be for me and for everybody, but I can't love my dad, so I gave up my relationship with Jesus Christ for almost 2 years. Deep relationship problems can hinder someone from making a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Number 8, listening is also important because deep feelings are involved when people have personal problems. Deep feelings are involved. Are you listening to the feelings? And we're learning about listening not to the words only, but to the feelings behind the words. And most of us, especially men, we are insensitive. Women are super sensitive, so they listen more than there is sometimes. That's the way we are wired. So we've got to learn disciplined, loving listening. Especially so when the problem is one of interpersonal relationships. You know, when person-to-person relationships don't work, it leads to deep hurt. And scars are built, and scabs over scab over scab. It's like the onion. You keep peeling onions, the tears. It's very painful. Feelings are ignored in all of our lives from childhood. Like the boy who comes home from the slush. Little boy, he was playing in the slush and he caught a toad, a frog. And he comes really excited and he comes home, "Mommy, I caught a frog." And mommy says, "Look at your shoes, dirty shoes. You're messing up my house. I just cleaned it up." And the little boy, he was feeling what? Excitement. Mommy was looking at my house, my clean house. You got it? You need a clean house, but you also need to develop listening to the feelings. You can express your feelings. How do you feel about it? It's okay. Even if the feelings are wrong. And we're going to learn about it. So from childhood we grow up to hide our feelings. Mummy, daddy crushed our feelings. Teachers crushed our feelings. No? I come home, failed. I've failed. What am I feeling when I see my report card? I'm feeling afraid of mommy and daddy. I'm feeling shame. What did my teacher do? In front of the whole class, "You failure." Failed. Go home, mommy says, "What will I tell the other mummies?" Isn't this real? Daddy comes and he says, "For whom am I working day and night, you sunny boy? Better don't go to school only." And no one sat with the little boy and said, "How do you feel about your failure?" We need to train ourselves in understanding the feelings behind the words we are hearing. Number 9, deep feelings behind the personal problems that hinder a person from experiencing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can only be overcome through loving, disciplined listening. Do you know that? Think about in your own experience. Has anyone listened to your feelings? Maybe once in a lifetime that has happened, right? Once in your blue moon. How many times is there a blue moon? Never. Has anyone sat and listened to you? Even once? How you felt? And how did you feel when someone listened to your feelings? You know what we do when we hear someone say, "You know, I did something terribly wrong. we start preaching. We preachers love to preach. Got another sermon for you. Lecturing. Start arguing. And worst of all, we start counseling. Advising. Counseling and advising without listening empathetically is more hurtful. A person needs to express his or her hurts and be assured of a loving listening. Jesus listened to the woman at the well. You remember the conversation? He goes down the line in the conversation. She started bakwasing about worship and she started talking about different things. And what was Jesus doing? He was listening. And then speaking. Nicodemus. Behind every statement made by the non-Christian, there is a feeling. That's true about all conversations. Not only in a personal evangelism. Listen to that feeling as you listen to the words being spoken. Equal attention to the words and to the feelings behind the words. Words hide feelings. And it may not be the exact words. Are you paying attention to this? I hide my emotions behind opposite words sometimes. Don't just listen to facts. While that is important, get an understanding of the feelings. I told you about the little boy. What about the woman who comes to church and says, "My son just died. My son just died." We're having this meeting, right? And someone comes and says, "My son died." You know what we do? And this is real. One after another, we will ask questions. How did he die? When did he die? What happened? Did you take him to the hospital? Did you call the doctor? Right? Who is with his body? Who goes to this woman, puts a loving arm around her and asks, "You must be feeling pretty sad. How are you feeling?" We all are very practical, aren't we? The three steps in disciplined, loving listening. After we go to the lady standing in the back there, turn around and see her. Standing like this. Like the prophet Isaiah. Allison's got tea for us. Enjoy your tea.